I have what I consider actually the unhappy task of talking about achieving Millennium Development Goal 4 and its relationship in particular to things environmental. No relationships need disclosing. Now, it was mentioned earlier, to get anywhere in public health or probably anything else, the first thing you need to do is define what it is you're talking about. And so in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, they defined that we needed to reduce by 2/3 childhood mortality, meaning mortality under 5 worldwide. To do this, you need to know what it is that's killing kids. And this obviously changes from area to area. The United States, probably worldwide, 36% of childhood deaths, meaning children under 5, the bulk of which happens in the first month of life, actually, is neonatal things. And that's true pretty much worldwide, because at this point in time, we don't know what to do about most of them. But we're starting to learn, which I'll come to later. The second leading cause of death worldwide is a variety of infectious diseases, malaria and measles being the two most prominent, except for respiratory and diarrhea. And so in that sense, since a lot of infectious disease has to do with those two, the second leading cause of death in the world for kids is respiratory, and the third is diarrhea. And up and coming, which is not actually on almost anyone's agenda these days, other than in developed countries, is injury. But it's becoming an up and coming issue worldwide. Now, my problem, I think the Millennium Development Goals are a good place, as good a place as any for the United Nations, the nations of the world, to start. It's a good thing they agreed on that as opposed to nothing at all. If they achieve any of them, seriously, I will be surprised. And I think the problem goes back to what I started with. What is it that you need to do? Why, for Millennium Development Goal 4, are kids dying? And what are we going to do about it? And there's the short take and the long-term take. And there's the primary prevention and the secondary tertiary prevention, which is what we in public health are concerned about. So for things like neonatal deaths are a little different, because most of them we actually don't know what to do about, although some of them, certainly maternal infection transmitted to kids, the fetus, maternal undernutrition have a lot to do with that. But goal number one, reducing poverty and malnutrition, or reducing hunger, has a very great deal to do with reducing childhood mortality. It also has a great deal to do with reducing maternal mortality, the MDG-5. None of which will happen in any of the MDGs if everybody, but particularly women and children, are not educated. So we have this interplay. Gender equality has already been mentioned, and I will mention it again. In most of the world, across all classes and stratas and et cetera, there is gender inequality. Women being more unequal than otherwise, and kids having almost no voice in anything. And so this, when you're half the population and you don't have a say in what happens to you, things are not going to work well. So we really need to work on that. And if we don't work on that, the other things won't happen so easily. Maternal health has two things to do with childhood mortality, actually, in a big way. One is, obviously, if mother dies, the kid's chances of living in developing countries are very small. And the kid's chances of living and living well are equally as small. If they survive not having a mother, which means not being breastfed probably, or being breastfed by somebody else, grandma trying to get up some breast milk, they may survive, but they're not going to survive very well, because malnourished brains in early life don't do well. And if you don't have kids with good brains growing up to become the leaders in the future, your whole country's in a really sorry state. HIV/AIDS is not going away. With the economic crisis, there's less effort being, or less money being put into it. And so as that keeps spreading, it's going to be a problem. Malaria control seems to be at a standstill around the world. We keep missing opportunities to actually eradicate it. Tuberculosis control is not going very far, either of those being the main things. And then there's the environment, which I'm going to come back to. So respiratory disease is much the same thing, and I don't want to go through this all again. The big thing in respiratory disease, besides poverty and malnutrition or undernutrition, which makes you more prone to become ill with any infectious exposure, are environmental things, which I will get to. And diarrhea can be a little more organized. Now, respiratory disease, for the Millennium Development Goals to work on achieving them, what most countries have done, what UNICEF has proposed, what WHO is pushing, is cut mortality from respiratory disease. So you train mothers and you train health promoters and you train everyone except the doctors who actually should get training to recognize when that cough is not just an upper respiratory infection and to go seek medical help. Is there medical help to seek? Is there money to pay for it? Is another matter. But if most mothers can readily understand the difference in the way a child looks when they have an upper respiratory or a lower respiratory infection, and with some training and with some education, they have been able to go, listen, family, this needs attention, this needs money spent, this child needs to go to the doctor. So that has been working pretty well. Diarrhea is a whole other matter. You can save the kids by giving them rehydration solution. Diarrhea, almost all of them, is a matter of in and out. What comes out has got to be replaced. You do that long enough, including the outbreak of cholera in Haiti, you will get over it. Antibiotics will help speed things up some, but it's rehydration. And that's relatively easy to do. So the real question is, why is there so much diarrhea around? And that I'm going to get to in a second. Also, the infectious diseases we mostly cause. An injury, I think since I don't have much time, I'm not going to talk about because it's at the moment relatively low on the totem pole. But it's something we need to keep in mind. The Millennium Development Goals need to be reevaluated both in terms of what it is they're aiming at and how they're doing and the measurements for it. So asthma or respiratory disease and the environment. The goal of 7A in MDG 7 is to reduce the loss of biodiversity, to decrease the amount of carbon dioxides and green gases put into the air. As you know, there's a whole controversy going on. Is climate change real? The temperatures are changing. I don't think anyone disputes. Is human activity the cause of it? Is under hot dispute, which is a lovely diversion for the people who don't want to deal with this to keep us from dealing with the problem. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter in a sense, because the things that cause the greenhouse gases we're talking about cause health problems right now. Burning fossil fuels puts pollutants in the air of a whole variety, primarily in terms of respiratory disease, small particles. It puts a number of chemicals into the air which cause central nervous system problems and birth defects. We've identified a few of the birth defects from environmental contamination. Clearly, there's going to be more on the line as research is done. There is fair evidence suggesting that childhood cancers have an environmental chemicals particularly, have a role in that. The environment certainly has a role in obesity, one in the kinds of foods we eat, and two in the lack of activity because of the way cities are built and what have you. And they're all increasing. Asthma, central nervous system, birth defects are all on the up. Okay, now, diarrhea. The Environmental Millennium Development Goal 7, Part C, is to decrease the number of families that do not have safe water access to it and to increase the amount of sanitation available. Water may actually be achieved in most places. Sanitation is not going to be achieved anywhere, probably. And the problem, the short range is you go, well, look at this, we've achieved some of the MDGs, but water will never remain potable if you don't deal with the sanitation. This is the problem in Haiti now. They have a lot of wells that most of the year are clean, and then you get flooding, and you add in not only the usual pathogens like typhoid that are around, but now they have cholera, and the usual sources of potable water all get contaminated for the next 6 months until the systems clear themselves out. So we need to manage our water sources because they're running out because of global warming. We need to manage them to make sure they don't become, when we develop potable water sources, that they don't become recontaminated. And that means we've really got to do something about sanitation in a big way, and that's just not sexy. In fact, it's downright distressing to deal with it, and so people and governments don't. And we as public health people need to do something about that. And finally, as we don't take care of our water, we're going to have water scarcity, we're going to get migrations of people and wars over water. There are hints about that already. And so, unless we start looking at the Millennium Development Goals in an integrated fashion, we probably, if the governments change their emphasis a little on which ones they really want to work on, using the economic crisis as an excuse not to do everything, they would be better put probably to improving sanitation and education more than anything else. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kathy.